Brian Baldinger, apologies that we were screaming about Jeff Garcia. We hate for anyone to see us in that state, especially you, Baldy. All guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line, and Baldy is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. And Brian, we've been talking a lot about Colin Kaepernick. Wow. We've been talking a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo since the Monday night loss. Goodness gracious, I'm really going to get myself into trouble. How much of what you saw from Jimmy Monday to you was a reflection of a quarterback not ready for prime time? How much of it was a quarterback without a lot of prime time weapons around him?
Well, I mean, I think the quarterback is kind of, he needs help, their best player on the team is George Kittle.
Yep.
He didn't play. They lost their newest best receiver in Emmanuel Sanders. The other receivers that were out there, Dante Pettis, you just can't drop balls. I mean, this if you prime time game, the quarterback throws the ball. Your job is to catch it. A lot of drops. The two tackles that got back in there looked awfully rusty. I mean, I've been watching Jadeveon Clowney play since he got to Seattle, and I haven't seen him do a whole lot, to be honest with you. That was one of the greatest performances by a defense end I've ever seen, period. I mean, that rivals Von Miller in the Super Bowl. It rivals almost anything what we've watched from J.J. Watt, when he was the best player in the league for a while. It rivals just about anything Aaron Donald does on a Sunday, for the most part. I mean, it was the most disruptive, chaotic performance I've seen. Now, that's hard to play quarterback when that freak is hanging all over you like he was most of the night. That being said, Jimmy can play better, and he's got to play better because – when you get to the postseason in the NFC this year, this sudden death tournament is going to be one of the best that we've ever seen. And that was an example on Monday night of where it's at. And you're only going to get, sudden death. You're only going to get one shot. So regardless of who's in, who's out, the quarterback should always look in the mirror at himself first before anything else is said.
With the fact that we're now heading into December where the weather is going to get worse and passing games tend to deteriorate in the wind, the 49ers have not been nearly as efficient running the ball as they have been, probably because teams are scheming them that way. How do they get that repaired in time for the December push?
Well, I mean, the teams that they're going to play, I mean, they're not going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. You're not going to run for 250 yards. But you got to be efficient. You got to get 4 yards on first down. You got to be able to pick up short yardage runs. I think a big part, to be honest with you, is getting, Juszczyk back and getting McGlinchey and Wilson Staley's out. But, I mean, you got to get the guys in there. George Kittle is as good a blocking tight end. I don't want to throw all kinds of superlatives. But he's as good a blocking tight end as there is, and there just simply is a drop-off when he's not in there. And so if you're asking a backup tight end, Dwelly, or anybody else to go block some of these guys, I mean, you might be asking them to do more than they can do just simply because they're the backup. I mean, there's one George Kittle that can handle the end of the line of scrimmage and make everybody else better, and they need George back in there. But that would be a start, getting Juszczyk back in there, getting in the flow of things, that would be a part of it. And then look, they're big inside there in Seattle, but everybody's going to be big and strong in this postseason. If you look at, if the Carolina Panthers get there, that's who they are inside. If you look at the Minnesota Vikings, that's who they are inside. I mean, you got to move big bodies and you can't finesse your way through a lot of this stuff. So I think some of it is they got to get better. They got to get more physical. And then some of it, they got to get some of their people back and get in the flow.
Baldy, I love watching your breakdowns because I always learn something when I'm listening to you, when I'm watching some of the videos that you put out there. And I'm just curious, when you broke down the Arizona game, why was it that the pass rush was so negated in that game? Was there something very specific Arizona was doing that negated their elite pass rush?
Well, I mean, when you play Arizona, the ball's coming out fast. I'm doing Tampa this weekend, Tampa and the New Orleans Saints. I was talking to Bruce Arians, and he just got done playing Arizona. And he said for most of the game, they tried to just sort of keep Kyler Murray in the pocket. And he's good from the pocket. But at some point, you just got to go get him. It's like Russell Wilson, you just got to go get him. You can't finesse it. You just have to get these guys that can take off with the ball. You can't worry about you know, everybody will say, keep them in the pocket, stay in your lanes. You got to go after these guys. And you got to make a move. And sometimes you get them, and sometimes, you know, they're going to make you pay. But, you know, when you play Arizona right now, I mean, that guy is the fastest player on the field every Sunday he plays. And so that's a part of it right now.
Brian Baldinger is our guest. Follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL for some of the best football breakdowns you can find. And, of course, he's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. And following up on the recent game against Arizona, we talk a lot about, well, will they show anything the first time around? How does it affect the second time around? Who do you think benefits the most from a recent game? Is it offense? Is it defense? Is it just the better coach? How do you think that affects what we'll see on Sunday?
Well, it is a fast turnaround. I've seen a complete reversal before. I think what I just said, though, if I was, you know, Robert Saleh and I was coaching the defensive front, and I'm sure there was some sort of a game plan to kind of keep Kyler Murray in there. You know, he's going to be restricted by what he sees from his, you know, standpoint, from his height standpoint, and all that. I never see the guy get a ball batted down. I mean, rarely do I see him get a ball batted down. His height is not a problem. In fact, it's an asset. But I would say this. Like, I would get after him. I would flat out get after him with everything you got. And if he comes out of, you know, it's like squeeze the jello sometimes. If he comes out of an opening and takes off, he just does. But I know this. If you just sort of mush rush him and try to keep him in the pocket, you're wasting your time. Because that guy, he's too instinctive. He's too quick. And when he feels pressure, he doesn't have to see it. He feels it. So I would say that'd be part of it. And I would get my hands up as much as possible and try to obstruct the view. I don't know if he's going to get past his block. But, you know, just make it more difficult for him to throw it. He's fearless when he throws it now. And these young receivers are getting better. I mean, the last time they played, Andy Isabella was just kind of getting started, but he had a breakout game last week. He's got world-class speed. He was the fastest player in the country, the 60-meter dash, in the state, you know, in the state of Ohio in the country. He can flat-out fly. And Keyshawn Johnson's getting better. I watched Larry Fitzgerald make circus catches every week. They're an improving football team, and we saw it a couple weeks ago when they played. Two Thursday nights ago, I guess it was. But I would say do not think that this team, because of the record or because you just played them, is not scary or not getting better. This team is an improving football team all the way around. You saw it from Kenyon Drake right away. They've got a lot of talented players. And they got guys on defense. Chandler Jones leads the league in sacks right now. He had an unbelievable game. He's got 11 and a half sacks and 5 forced fumbles in 10 games. I mean, he is a handful right now for anybody. I don't care who's in there at tackle.
I want to twist this a little bit just because of the news of the day, which is the Colin Kaepernick Bizarro World tryout on Saturday.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the film of that workout and you're trying to evaluate, is this a guy I want to sign for now or for next year, or for never, what is it specifically that you, as somebody who's an expert at breaking down film and knowing what you see, what are you looking for specifically?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know what the workout's going to look like. Sometimes you can script an 80-play workout. You're usually around 70 or 80 plays. You know, if you're looking at, you know, one of these college pro days, it's usually typically a 70 or 80-play workout. And part of it is, you know, if a good coach is working it, they're going to see his conditioning. Does the ball start to drop? Does it start to fade when he starts to get tired, when he starts to move a great deal? So conditioning can affect the throw. You want to see the deep outs, you know, and can he still drive the ball? He's always had a good, strong arm. Can he still drive the ball? Is he throwing it with his legs? Is he just throwing it with his upper body? Because he was guilty of that as a quarterback in San Francisco and at Nevada. Those would be some of the things. I don't know. It seems to be kind of a mystery of who he's throwing to, but it would be good if he could throw to a guy that he has some connection to, somebody that's been working out with. He says he's been working out 5 days a week for almost 3 years, so it'd be good if he has some of the guys he's been working out with him, where he could say, okay, throw me an 18-yard comeback, 18 back to 16, and he could put it on a tee for him. Be good if he had, you know, some kind of connection. So those would be some of the things, you know. And then you know, how's he throw it when he's going to his left? I mean, does he square his shoulders? Just some of the fundamentals of throwing a football. You'd probably, on a tape, if you went back and watched it, go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with it. You're just looking at some of those things I just described.
Brian Baldinger, at Baldy NFL, R95.7 The Game NFL Insider. We always appreciate the time, Baldy. Thanks so much.
All right, my pleasure, guys. I hope Damien can get better, man.
Fingers crossed. I assume he will get better eventually, Baldy. If he wasn't going to get better at all, we'd have real problems.
Well, I'll send a nurse over there. I'll send a nurse with an IV bag and, you know, some extra doses of vitamin C, whatever else it takes right now.
We're treating him like Kittle. You know, we're waiting for the playoffs.
That's right. We want to make sure he's 100%. That's all.
Is he in a glass booth?
Exactly. He's well protected right now. No worries.
All right. Good enough.
That is Brian Baldinger, ladies and gentlemen.